You know what I literally just thought about for the first time in my entire life?
What was that?
The male genitalia of the Ninja Turtles.
Ooh.
And how at some point it would have likely like been exposed.
It's in the show.
Or when April and Neil is walking around.
Is this kept up in the show?
But is that how a real turtle's anatomy works?
You know, like,
where's a turtle expert when you need one?
That's what we need right now, is a turtle expert. Like, there's no LeBron incident whatsoever with a dick hanging out while he's fighting or anything like that, right?
Right? And you're telling me you're living with April O'Neil and you never get a half chub?
Well, if you've seen the
talk
new...
Talk about shell shots.
The new movie, Mikey had a half chub the whole goddamn movie.
Did he?
Yeah.
The new movie?
The movie that came out in 2015.
Oh, was that the animated one?
No, it was the live action with CGI and Megan Fox and...
Oh,
Michelangelo
yeah,
had a hard-on for Megan Fox the entire movie.
Wait, I thought it was... Wasn't it like the... oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
The entire movie. You didn't see anything because it's a family movie. But he made comments... that he was trying to get it in.
Were they PG level appropriate or were they PG-13?
They were PG-13.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Michael Bay level innuendos.
Yes. So
that says it all right.
Means
there.
A fourth grader can understand them.
Right. When Martin Lawrence can recite lines in your film, it's not exactly Shakespeare. That's all I'm saying.
All I say.
No offense to Martin Lawrence, by the way.
No disrespect, Martin Lawrence.
Who is your favorite turtle, by the way?
Yeah, Leonardo.
Really? Yes. Okay. How about you?
I would say younger Michelangelo.
Okay.
Because he's the fucking cool guy.
I thought you would say now because he smokes a lot of pot, basically. And
well, I do respect him for...
skateboards.
Yeah. For all of his vices.
Sounds like 60% of, like... 19-year-olds that live in San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. They say dude a lot. I don't think cowabunga really exists in the vernacular. But yeah, like as I got older, you know, you get more responsible. Yeah, and Leonardo, I mean, is the obvious choice.
Oh my god. Okay.
And he's got two motherfucking katana swords.
Not one.
Two. Shink, shink.
Yeah.
You're done.
For me, I mean, it was Donatello... at the beginning stages, strictly because of the video game. Strictly because of the video game.
Because he played
the reach.
He had the reach. He had the reach. And then, as I grew older, Raphael, of course. Like, that guy, he's a smartass. And he's actually a good smartass, so.
Yeah, it's because he's on steroids, bro. That's why he's angry all the time.
Yeah.
He's more... He's
on that turtle wax.
Yeah.
I have never noticed that he's more roided up than any of the other turtles.
And if you see the new version... he's like a good 6 inches taller
he is
than
huge,
all the other turtles.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I'm missing
these
turtles.
He's on that turtle growth hormone. Okay.
Hopefully we're not...
He has some more ooze.
Please don't take any of these comments to promote the new Ninja Turtles movie, because it is garbage.
It was entertaining. It was not very good, but I liked watching it.
It was horrible.
Okay.
I will say this. You could watch that movie in probably 20 minutes if you just cut out all the BS and just watch like the action scenes.
I just wish there was no Megan Fox.
You wish there was no Megan Fox?
Yeah, because she just seemed terrible the entire movie.
Well, yeah, she's a horrible actress, but
what
she's
happened?
Fine to look
she
at.
She was okay in Transformers.
I don't want to...
Sorry, we're going to go down this rabbit hole.
Well, I don't want to ruin a spoiler, but is... what's his face from Dark Knight? Shredder, the white guy, William Fincher, the skinny.
No.
Oh, okay,
no.
Okay.
The like dinosaur looking guy. That
yeah, yeah. Actually, don't want to watch it now because that's all.
He's a secondary villain.
Right.
Okay.
If that makes
for some reason, I thought he was going to be Shredder.
Shredder in this film
is badass.
Is like RoboCop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. It's like part Transformer.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, welcome to Pop Not Soda, your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle podcast.
TMNT all day in a half shell. We are your weekly six-pack of pop culture. Episode 22, fellas.
Hey, yeah, we're there.
Yeah.
I like Deuce, it. Deuce, Gleeman.
Nice.
As the rappers would say.
I'm not even going to ask what rappers would say that, but boys, how was the weekend?
Mine was good. It rained a lot. It rained a lot. And I went to the Safari Park on Saturday. I ran into my friend Brian Owens, actually there. And yeah, we ran around the Safari Park for a little bit.
Yep. Did some cannonballs in the flamingo pool and, you know, fucking with some tigers.
That's
typical Saturday.
What happens?
Is it bad that I don't think I can go to Safari Park and not treat it like Jurassic World? Like, I want to see some shit, eat some goats. I want some carnage now.
Yeah.
After watching Jurassic World.
It's so funny. After watching that movie and going into the Safari Park, it straight up is Jurassic Park. And they do a good job of making it a point where people get bored of just your typical, you know, dinosaur eating something. And yeah. Same thing with the zoo. It's like, cool, I've seen these animals. Now I want to see them, you know, fight in a cage match with another species and let's see what happens.
Maybe that's just me. I'm all for that.
No, it totally is that way, though, because you see it and they're like, at one point they were like, okay, here are the cheetahs in a cave. Or, I mean, in a cage. And, okay, obviously everybody's sick of that. Let's see it. Let's see a cheetah run. So we're going to hang meat at the end of a 100-yard field, and we're going to have this thing caged up, and we're going to drop the fence at the first moment, and yeah, it's good.
I wouldn't mind seeing the cheetah turn on the trainer. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, that's Jurassic Park shit.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that right now.
Well, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often at zoos like it does at SeaWorld, you know?
Yeah.
Is that just because the killer whale is just a huge dick and probably
so.
Can never be
I think,
trained?
I think killer whale is one that, of the hugest dits in the ocean. Like,
and I think the fact that it has killer in its name might have something to do with its
might
whole
be a
dick connotation.
Yeah. They don't call them friendly whales.
I mean, I think Free Willy actually did a huge disservice to the human race, because it
we
made,
got soft.
Yeah,
them.
Oh, killer whale, they're chill. You know, they just don't like being cooped up in tanks. Let's fucking hang out with them and let them free. And in real life, Timmy or whatever the hell that kid's name was would have been bitten in half like he was a payday candy bar.
Honestly, I think it was small. He's just been swallowed whole.
I don't know. I feel like a whale would want to enjoy its meal of an 11-year-old boy.
If he's a dick, he would have made him suffer.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Brian, how's your weekend?
Well, other than thinking about an alternate ending to Free Willy, yes, I was at the Safari Park. Rained like cats and lions. I don't know. I'm trying to think of
cats and lions.
A better animal name. Yes, rained hard. You know, the Pride Parade was also this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So it literally rained on their parade. But I was in Hillcrest on Sunday and definitely caught the aftershock of the Pride Parade. For whatever reason, my friend who is married, heterosexual, wanted to bar hop in Hillcrest on Sunday. Which we did, and we ended up in one establishment called Flicks.
Sounds dangerous.
Yes. didn't know the name as we were going into this place, but you know, when we got there, it was cool, pretty mellow. It's a big space, a big dance floor. They have an outdoor area, and you know, of course, there were some gentlemen hanging out there. But, you know, wasn't too intense. And then it started to rain. And the rain washed in a sea of men semen, if you will. And in probably like 20 minutes turned into a reunion for the Village People, it felt like. Just unbelievable.
So our crowd research team has looked up Flitz Club website. The first thing on their banner is a promo called Welfare Wednesdays. With a dude holding a sledgehammer in briefs.
Yes, there were male dancers at this establishment, not wearing much of anything. And they were on the bar, so you couldn't really avoid them. And the place at this point was extremely busy. So if you wanted to get a drink at the bar, which me being maybe one of 10 straight men in this establishment, now flooded with probably, you know, 70 or 80 Joy Boys, you know, you're going to want to wet your whistle. So while you're standing at the bar waiting for a fucking drink, because there's only 3 bartenders and 40 dudes trying to get a drink, you got this guy just straight throwing his shit in your face, because, you know, he's under the assumption that you're probably
enjoying it.
Yeah, putting from the rough, like, you know, the rest of these guys. So yeah, it was intense. And I'll say this, like, those dudes just have no shame whatsoever.
Well, it's pride.
It weekend. Is.
So I don't,
and I'm in a, it's not, and I'm in a gay weekend. Bar, you know, so who am I to complain? But yeah, they'll talk to you, and they're quite affectionate with the touching at times. And yeah, all in all, an uncomfortable situation. But, you know, they were having a great time, so.
I've got a question for you. Which would you rather navigate? That sea of drunk gay men during Pride weekend, or a sea of sharks?
Tough question. I would choose the semen over the sharks. Because at least I could come out alive. You know, maybe mentally destroyed for the rest of my life, but physically, I'd need several showers, and then after that, a few more showers, and then it might be okay. But I love my limbs attached to my body, similar to some other folks in other parts of.
Yeah, there was an incident over the weekend during a surf competition where. On live TV, a surfer, I can't recall his
Mitch
name.
Mitch Fanning.
Basically got... His run was abrupted by a shark encounter.
A shark's encounter.
Wait, there's two?
There were two. There were two sharks. Yeah, from what I've heard now, there were two sharks that actually attacked him. So, yeah. This guy was surfing in a surfing competition. I think it was one of the final rounds.
Where was this, in Australia?
This was in South Africa.
Oh, South Africa.
South Africa. So he proceeds to surf his run. I think he's about 30 seconds into that run or whatever.
Yeah, he just, like, paddled out.
Just started that run or whatever. Notices something in the water. I think everybody's pretty much seen the video now, but somehow he
managed, when you see that fin, you freak out.
Managed to escape a great white shark attack. Punched the shark in the face, like the Dane Cook joke. I mean, we've all heard that like 10 years ago. It's funny that it actually happened or whatever. The crazy thing was, too, he makes it out 100% safe. On top of that, too, though, is you see his buddy that was the competitor in that final round. That actually, as soon as he noticed what was happening, jumped right in the water to try to distract the shark, too. So he's come out and said that now. Where you see this kind of, like, I mean, damn, man, you go swimming in the ocean, you know it's the shark's house anyway, but you see this camaraderie among surfers, and, I mean, it was pretty awesome to see. This guy was pretty shaken up or whatever, and tried to do whatever he could to distract, you know, the shark off of Mitch Fanning.
Yeah, man, and it looks like the shark either ripped or bit his,
bit through his leash.
Oh, completely severed the leash off. Yeah, the board was completely off the leash. Yeah,
like that's way too close for comfort. I'm with you. I'm taking the semen over the shark encounter. I'm doing it. I mean, and there has been a rise in, like, shark attacks this year, especially on the East Coast. In North Carolina, they've already had
seven. You could pay me to go in the water in North Carolina.
I know. And my folks just moved there. So I was like, hey, don't go to the beach. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
I know you're not getting on the water, but you never know. They may grow legs. Be careful.
Or if you are going in the water, why don't you buy some personal shark cages?
Oh, my God. If you have not seen
you can
these
never
things,
be too safe.
They look like a frame for an old torpedo that you're supposed to carry out into, like, over you into the water.
I think a good comparison would be, like, a tall bird cage that's just hollowed out.
Yeah.
You know? And then you put that on top of you. Clearly enough space for a shark to come in and bite your arm off.
I don't understand. Because what this screams to me is that it's got to be heavy enough to, like, go down to the ground, right? So the shark doesn't have you, like, in one spot. Like, because if you can get underneath it, you're kind of, like, fucked. You can't move anywhere. The shark's, like, got a free meal.
Yeah, you're literally
so you're basically putting this in the sand.
In a barrel.
So this is just death trap to me. This is, hey, I'm going to plant this in the sand, and now I can't move, and the water is just going to, I'm just going to drown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and if anybody hasn't seen the story yet, it's a couple, and where was it, Richmond, Virginia, I think?
I'm pretty sure
it's in North Carolina.
North Carolina, maybe, yeah. And they proceeded to make their own personal shark cages, which, yeah, like Dan, like Brian was saying, they look like, I mean, it looks like a half-assed frame of a rocket tube that they're going to put in the water, protect themselves or whatever. This thing literally will get eaten by a shark in.
Well, then they didn't go past, like, ankle deep.
Yeah.
Well, because they couldn't.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to drown.
Did you see the lifeguard, too? Because that's in the video, too. I mean, it's funny if you see it. The lifeguard in the video basically sees it, and he's like, no. This isn't going to happen. No. We're going to take you out of the water right now, because I'm not going to have two drowning bodies responsible for it because they took a steel cage they couldn't swim out of into the ocean.
And thought it was a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, though.
On dumb ideas?
We've seen dumb ideas turn into very, very profitable things, especially including sharks. And this week, I think, is especially special because...
Especially special.
Especially special because there's something on Sci-Fi tonight.
Yeah, the premiere is happening as we are recording.
Yeah.
Sharknado 3.
Oh, hell no.
That's the subtitle.
Oh, I'm not exclaiming.
Yeah, that's the secondary title. It's Sharknado 3.
Oh, hell no.
I thought Brian was dumbfounded for a second.
No.
Damn it.
No.
Sharknado 3.
Oh, hell no. I'm actually Tara Reid's only fan club member, so of course I'll be... Actually, is she even in the movie? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's in the movie, but... I think now she's got, like, the chainsaw arm.
Oh, that's right.
They basically made her Ash from Evil Dead.
Yeah, that's at the end where they're, like, on top of...
The Empire
State Building, right. And she's just shredding sharks with her Army of Darkness hand.
I don't think people who create this movie know how big sharks are. Because Tara Reid, who weighs, like, 135 pounds... does not have the arm strength to hold up a chainsaw on a nub and slice through sharks like that.
Let me stop you there, Dan. This film is based on the premise that sharks can not only survive in tornadoes, but then have the wherewithal to just eat every human being that is in front of their face.
All I'm asking is, give me just a little bit of logic. Just a little bit. So I don't feel so dumb watching.
Well, there's obviously no logic in the casting either, because... Can we rifle through that really quick?
Oh, please.
El Presidente Mark Cuban, right?
Ian Ziering, Tara Reid, David Hasselhoff, Bo Derek, Mark Cuban, Ann Coulter, Michelle Bachmann, Jerry Springer, Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yeah!
From NSYNC.
Pineapple Head from NSYNC.
Yeah. Holy He's crap. Going bye, bye, bye.
Oh, he yes.
Oh, I see what he did there. You Chris- say that the Sharks are tearing up his heart.
Oh, my God. And we'll jump to the next one right now. Chris Jericho. Paul Madison. Awesome. Kendra Wilkinson.
So those are playmates.
Marcellus Wiley.
Marcellus Wiley. Is Matt's in it too, or just Marcellus?
Holy crap.
No, Michelle Beadle's in it though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Weiner. Kathy Lee Gifford.
I wonder what's going to happen to him.
Ray J.
He's going to get a text.
Ray J, you know what? He may say he hit the shark first.
Okay, can I just...
He'd probably kill a shark with his giant dick.
I'm just going to stop this right now.
Or his
horse. I just read this guy's profession in this movie, and I think I will give you guys... I will give one of you $100 if you can actually guess what profession this guy had
Who?
In this movie. Ray J.
Any sort of hint?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna. It's $100.
But you can. I mean,
okay. If there's no money on it,
No. Give us the most vague hint possible. Just like so, we're kind of in the like.
Because you know, I mean, is it like politics? Is it military?
Not
is it
even
entertainment?
That. Just.
Okay.
Is it a real job?
It's a real
job. It's a real profession. That's all I need to know.
It is a real job.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, it is a real job. Yeah.
I'm going to say he... Oh, no, rap mogul, I guess, would almost make sense because that's just too racist.
Yeah.
And they're in Washington, D.C.?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan is trying to figure out what Ray J's profession is going to be in Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no.
He's kind of too... young to play a governor.
We're gonna give him five more seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
My final answer for Ray J is that he is a priest or religious like practitioner.
Dan's going with the holy move. Okay. Dan's pulling the holy pawn out. All right, now Brian, what do you got? We got Ray J in Sharknado 3. Oh hell no. What profession is he going to play?
My guess for Ray J's profession in Sharknado 3 is astronaut.
Oh my God, Brian is very close. Brian is extremely close. He actually is a NASA tech.
Oh, close enough! Engineer. That is close
Tom
enough!
Tom Engineer, not... an astronaut. I'm sorry, Brian.
But
he is very, very close.
I like that you went scientist there.
Yeah.
I was waiting between scientist and then somebody like holy, because we know Ray J is anything but.
Right. Okay. And let's not stop that casting right there.
All right, let's keep going.
We also have Robert Klein, Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton.
Cindy Margolis. Everybody remember her?
No.
The internet woman from 1990, or like... She was like the first internet model.
Oh, she was like the...
Yeah, Cindy Margolis.
Yeah.
Cindy Margolis.
A Howard Stern regular.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. Howard Stern regular. We also have a few Desperate Housewives on there. Penn and Teller. Neo.
Neo. His name is Neo. He's got a big-ass head.
Yep. Neo.
Neo.
Which he used to be like, he wanted to try being a serious actor. He had like a couple movies, and then he was in Battle for Los Angeles, and then his career went to Sharknado 3.
Hey, yeah, you're in Sharknado 3 now. Chalk it up.
Yeah, well, people realize that his mediocre music talent cannot carry over.
All right, are we done with the casting?
No, actually, so I'll run through really quick. I'll rifle through the last probably 10 or 15, or 10. We have Lou Ferrigno, Jackie Collins, Matt Lauer, Al Roker.
Oh, because they were in Sharknado 2.
Yep.
The second one.
Josh Barnett, Steve Guttenberg, and ladies and gentlemen, dropping the bomb right here. It's rumored. It's on the Wikipedia page. George R.R. Martin.
What?
Oh.
Yep. So that might happen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sharknado 3. We might have to put this on after the podcast.
Yeah, real quick.
Absolutely. Steve Gutenberg's in it.
Real quick before we head to break, gentlemen. What would you want as your Sharknado weapon? Go, real quick.
Ooh, Brian?
For my Sharknado weapon, man, I would choose Mike Tyson's left hook. Because nice. Apparently punching sharks in the face punching. Is a very it's effective, very effective. Punching. Yeah. Strategy.
All right. I like it. Southpaw.
I've seen Walking Dead a lot. Automatic shotgun. That's what I'd say.
So I like it. Where you're going. Yeah. Your shotgun with some butt shot.
Yeah.
Fuck those bitches up. But I'm going to take another Walking Dead weapon and I'm going katana.
Ooh.
But are you really going to... I was going to say Leonardo's katana.
Hey, bro. Sushi. It's on me. Let's go.
Whew. Dan all is right. pulling out the guns before the break. Good job, Dan.
All right, guys. As Brett says, we will see you on the flip side. Wow, you know what that sound means, Brian?
Are we in Jamaica?
No, we are not in Kingston. But where
we're
will be...
We're not in Kingston, man!
But where we will be this weekend is only one place there. There's only one place you have to be this weekend. And that is at Brett Republic 5.
Brett Republic 5?
V. We've moved on from numbers. We've translated it into letters.
Oh, snap. Well, where do we have to be this weekend?
Lafayette Pool in North Park. That's where Brett Republic 5 is going down.
Damn.
And if you've ever been to Wet Republic in Las Vegas, you will never want to go back there because it will be a letdown every time after you've attended one Brett Republic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to have Jack Yu there.
Hopefully, I think. Skrillex hasn't DM'd me back, so I'm still waiting. Have you heard from Diplo?
Diplo, nah, man. He's just jet-setting, being...
Diplo?
Being Diplo.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brett is turning a big 3-0 this year, which I don't know what that actually is in Roman numerals. Is that like an L?
Is that... It doesn't matter.
You know what?
I think it's just three X's.
Triple S.
Yeah.
And so it's Brett Triple S.
It's really what it should be named. Yeah. Someone should have thought of that.
This Saturday, July, check the date, 25th, at Lafayette Pool, Brett Republic 5.
Hey guys, I just got back. Hey, you got Skrillex, right?
Kind of.
Okay, yeah. You got Diplo, right?
Yeah, he's... just checking some things.
I mean, we will have a Jack and a you there.
Yeah, the music will be playing.
Jack, you? Oh, yes!
It works every time. 60% of the time, it works every time. That's that straight up sexy sax massaging your ear things that are listening to those sounds.
I think you're still caught up in the excitement over Brett Republic 5.
I think I am too, for Brett's XXX birthday. So... guys and girl that's listening, I know you got a spoonful of Pazuki and that chocolate chip cookie is just oozing chips and that ice cream's looking oh so fresh, but drop that spoon
the soup ladle, actually, that you're probably working with. Because I'm talking about TED 2 today. If you don't know about TED 2, then you're probably still a reasonable human being, because, you know, it's just a movie. TED, movie starring Mark Wahlberg and the voice of Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane, if you're not familiar, he's a showrunner for Family Guy, does most of the voices. He basically ports Peter Griffin's voice into a teddy bear and let the plot just write itself.
Are there hijinks?
There are definitely hijinks. Okay. The first TED, very funny, actually pretty well reviewed. This film, mixed reviews, but I thought it was great. I love Family Guy. It still to this day is one of my favorite shows, so it might be a little biased. And this movie actually feels like a Family Guy episode, wherein the first movie, I think, which was one of the most well-received parts about it, it was a legitimate movie. It had a lot of drama in it, you know, the relationship with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis, and then, you know, Giovanni Ribisi kidnapping Ted.
Got real weird.
And it gets weird, it gets dark, and, like, you get sad when, you know, shit happens in the first one. In this movie, it's just completely fucking nonsense. Yeah. There's not a serious tone. There is at one point, but, you know, nothing like the dramatics of the first one. But, you know, it's Seth MacFarlane, so you got your big opening musical number to start the movie off. You have a lot of jokes right in that, like, 17 to 35-year-old age group. Just, you know, solid dick jokes and stupid shit that probably only guys in our age group would like. But again, that's why I love it. God, I can't remember her name, but she was in Mean Girls.
Amanda Siegfried.
She plays the main female lead in this movie, Marky Mark's love interest.
Samantha Leslie Jackson.
Sam L. Jackson, for short.
Nice.
And she looks great in the movie, but they clown on her so hard. It is awesome. They call her Gollum through the whole movie because she's just got, you know, those, like, big bug eyes. Oh, my God. They just ruin her. And, you know, cheers to her for being a good sport about it because they fucking just do it the whole movie. And one of the writers must have gone to U of A because they clown on ASU through the whole movie, too. Just, like, not pulling any punches. Because she goes to ASU in the movie. And so they just dog on her for having a need for the precious.
So we will recommend this movie to David Usher.
Absolutely. David Usher would not throw the controller through the screen hearing the ASU insults. The movie's it's really funny. You know, I don't think anyone's really going into this expecting anything other than it is just a bunch of stupid dick jokes for 90 minutes. Morgan Freeman is in it for a small section towards the end, and, like, he's all right, but nothing to write home about. There are a lot of scenes in the court because the essential plot of this movie is that Ted is deemed property and not a person, and so then he sues the state government to, like, become a person and have his rights reinstated. And so there's a lot of scenes in the courtroom, and they're pretty funny. So TED 2, when it comes down to it, I'm giving 4.
Woo! Nice.
Out of 5 paychecks.
Nice.
It definitely had me cracking up at a few spots with some great one-liners. And my girlfriend hated it, so
win all win. Around.
You know, speaking of girlfriends hating things, after that fantastic movie review, have you heard about Ashley Madison this week?
I have heard about Ashley Madison and immediately erased my account.
Good on you. Good on you.
When the news broke.
Brett, what about you?
Don't have one.
Well, not so much the Ashley Madison account, but it's good to know.
No, when I heard about it, I thought it was pretty damn funny. I mean, yeah.
So I've been watching the new USA series, Mr. Robot, which has to do with, like, vigilante hackism. And to hear this story, it sounds strange.
When is it not vigilante hackism?
By vigilante, I think it just means like a dude who's
okay.
Who's like bored.
Yeah. Like
sitting in his underwear in his parents' basement. Like, hey, Ashley Madison, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Because it's not stealing credit card numbers.
That's true. It's not malicious.
It's
well, I mean, it's malicious in this
show. But it's malicious to shitty people.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the story, and if you don't know what Ashley Madison is, it is a website solely for people to meet other people and have affairs. Like, that's its whole driven purpose.
And it's married people, too, right?
That's the main clientele.
Okay, yeah, that's the main clientele.
Entire client base.
Yeah.
For those in non-marital relationships, it's just called Tinder. but Ashley Madison was hacked, and this group is threatening to release not just emails and profiles, but people's fantasies that they have written in correspondence or on their profiles from AshleyMadison.com and putting it with their legal name and everything.
Nice.
So I kind of think it's awesome. Every time I see an Ashley Madison commercial, I take a shower. I feel extremely dirty.
How many people do you think, like, the percentage of the pot, like, I'd say the percentage of the general public, how many people do you think use that?
500,000 is my guess.
500,000? Okay.
I mean, it's a publicly traded company, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's successful. It's very... 500,000 users.
Okay. So, I mean, like, what is that to...
It's like 10,000 per state.
Is that... Okay, so... What is it? 1 in 2,000 people? Or how many... I mean, I don't know what... Like, what's the percentage of running into one of those users? Or the...
I'd say... Low,
yeah, very, very low.
I would
low,
say
huh?
low.
So I mean, it's still.
I honestly think they probably have millions of users at this point.
Yeah.
Millions, really?
Yeah. I mean, if fucking Match.com gets, you know, like 1,000 people a day to sign up or whatever horseshit number that they throw at you, I would think that just like every other dating site or application out there, it's got millions of users.
Is it a paid service?
Yes.
I think so.
See, now that's a fucking... That's a trap right there. Like, how the hell do you pay for a service without your significant other? I mean, if you're in a marriage...
Because they probably bill it like a porn site or something. Like,
just a very...
You know,
like,
it's probably like the scene from Superbad. Where it's like, you know, perfect10.com. Oh, it's a bowling website.
But yeah. I mean, at some point, too, you'd think with, like, the internet these days, like, somebody would catch on to that and be like, okay, it's this code for this month or whatever. It, like, if they change codes or whatever. I don't know. It just seems like such a fucking really, really stupid way of trying to cheat on somebody. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the whole attraction
of
it,
yeah,
right?
I guess the draw to it.
Is that... That security is built in, so you use this service so that you can feel safe to engage in
like anonymity.
Extramarital relations. Yeah, it's a safe space to be the fucking kinky weirdo that you want to be.
Yeah. Man, so, I got video games. I can play with that.
Yeah, and you know. I mean, I'm just a good person, so
yeah.
I don't think I actually have anything on my web history. Or anything on my computer that I wouldn't mind being released.
Oh, shut up, Dan.
No,
shut
dude. Up, Dan. Just put it out. I mean, everything that I search, 85% of human beings search.
Ladies and gentlemen, next week's episode,
we are
going to comb through Dan Perez's browser history. You better not scrub it past this week.
I'd rather have my internet history read aloud versus my telephone number given out over live TV.
Ooh.
Agreed.
That did happen to somebody too.
200,000% agree.
200,000% agree.
By like the most hated person today, I think, so, in media.
Donald
Trump.
Lindsey Graham decided to make a criticism of Donald Trump because he was in the right to do so.
Yeah.
And so Donald Trump, because he's a spoiled, ignorant 15-year-old douche, decided to give his phone number out on live TV and thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, and he said he'd do it again.
That guy, man, I'll tell you, I mean, dickhead stuff aside, he's almost venturing into sociopath territory, where, like I don't give a shit how much money you have. At what point do we deem you crazy? Because he's doing things now where you're, I mean, at some point, too, like, I would get beyond an act, and I'd go, okay, like, you know, I get this, that this was a ploy, I get that this was a ploy or whatever, but at some point, like, how much of this ridiculous shit is he gonna do before people are like, dude, you're kind of insane.
He's leading in the primaries!
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing, is he's creating all of this news, whether it be negative or positive.
Yeah.
For him, it's still positive, press, you know?
And still positive,
and they say, you know, no new or no press is bad press, right?
Yeah.
In this case, unfortunately, that seems to be the case. But again, it's early. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Donald Trump even finishes in the top five when it's all said and done.
He must be doing something right.
No.
He's just blowing his entire marketing budget.
On our show. So.
Yeah, but in 2 months, in, you know, he's 30
he's not
days,
gonna be anywhere.
Right? Because what he's going to do is continue trying to escalate his actions because he can't do
afford
things.
Him.
Well, he can't do things like less controversial now because it's not going to create the buzz. So he's got to just continually step his dickishness up to a level where people are just going to get sick of him and completely turn on him.
Yeah. And I mean, he feels like, to me, he's the kid growing up that you can never make fun of because, he never took it well. It was always an overreaction to any type of joke at his expense.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you are Donald Trump, you leave yourself open to so many goddamn jokes. I mean, just look at his hair.
Now, interesting theory, though. I mean, like, if he is such a polarizing figure, does that really, really hurt the people that are actually, you know, seeking presidential candidacy for the Republican Party?
Yes.
Yeah, but it always does, you know?
I mean, are people just identifying other people with his thoughts too? Or
they're identifying the party with
Donald Trump thing. Because at some point too, I was thinking, that's a very clever ploy. If you could stage just a clown that just completely polarizes the party to actually vote for somebody that's actually more nominated.
I was just going to say.
He's a secret Democrat.
Right, exactly.
Time.
Well, no, I'm not going to say
the
that.
The Democratic Party is
I'm
just paying him off.
I'm not going to say that, but I mean, like, you can obviously tell that the Republican Party put up no gates to let this clown just do whatever he wants. I mean, it's almost like they're like, all right, cool, just fucking destroy whatever you want so we can come out the other side
primaries.
And, you know, come through the destruction and be like, look who we really are.
In the primaries, it's not that there's. It's not so stringent to be a candidate.
Well,
you
I understand
have to have
that.
A little bit of backing. You have to fill out the proper forms, and you have to have money to do your own publicizing. Other than that, like, there is no official Republican Party backing until the vote comes out and you've been selected. Like, that's when it gets stringent, and that's when the party takes control. But
I have an interesting question. Do you think he comes out of this more profitable or less profitable?
Oh, way less. He already
is losing money.
Yeah, had ton of his investments, you know, dropped.
Back
he
out.
Had, yeah. I mean, his clothing line at Macy's is done. You know, a bunch of sponsorships he had are done. He got fired from The Apprentice. I mean, these are all huge cash flow streams that have disappeared, and I can't imagine he'll ever get a corporate sponsor ever again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the NBC dropped his Miss America pageant.
Right.
Another network still picked it up, which I thought was ludicrous. But that I can understand because that, like, he started off way too radical with the whole, we need to build a wall because all Mexicans are drug addicts and rapists. Maybe don't say that.
Right.
As, like, your first major statement in your political race.
We all think it. You don't say it on public TV.
Hey, watch it. My people.
Fight's about to go down.
Is there a Mexican behind me? Is that why you said that?
Be careful. They will scale that fence outside real quick. And I think now he's gotten more campy. The Lindsey Graham phone number, the calling out of, oh my God, old Johnny time McCain. Winter, John McCain.
Like, I think that you're making a great point right now. I think it's, if anybody had doubt that Donald Trump wasn't a reality TV show character, I think we're all seeing just complete validation that this guy does everything that he can. It's like Heidi and Spencer. I mean,
it's like if Kim Kardashian were to run for a nomination.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It's somebody with a lot of money that just seeks just spotlight with whatever desperate move they can make.
The weird thing is, when they question him about decisions he made in the past about where he's given money, those decisions have kind of made sense. He's backed Obama in some things. He's backed national health care reform. So you can tell, like, he's still kind of a businessman that knows, like, where there's a good opportunity or where there's a winner.
But
for some reason, I tell you, if he feels offended, he just overreacts, which is something you do not want in a guy who can press a red button and blow people on the other side of the world up.
Yeah.
Well, he also called an entire race of people lazy, criminals, and rapists. I don't think that's a good start to
a presidential campaign?
Yeah, to race relations.
Not at all.
If you're to be elected.
Not at all. Not at all. We should have John Allen back on here so we could interview Donald Trump a little bit more on this whole subject.
Yeah, we could...
I mean, no, we had to rush Donald out of here with what he was saying
last
week.
Yeah. That's right, before John even got in.
Yeah, it was...
That's right.
He got us canceled.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think that was a great episode, guys.
As it is every single week.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Dan, you want to take it away?
This weekend, Saturday, July 25th.
You fucking asshole.
Lafayette Pool. You hear that? It's the sounds of Brett's 30th birthday. Brett Triple X niece. And the Triple X just isn't his age, ladies. Brett Republic 5. If you want to send him some birthday wishes, do it on Twitter. At Niece's Pieces. If you want me to pass along any messages, you can find me on Twitter at Dan_Perez_ or Brian Owens at
B-O-Wins?
B-Owens. Or B, like I say B-O-Wins. It's easier to remember.
And then our official site, right?
Yeah, you can find us, all three of us, at Pop_NotSoda on Twitter. You can also listen to not just this episode, but all of our episodes at popnotsoda.podbean.com. Or you can find us on pointandyell.com because we are still a part of the fantastic production company, Point and Yell Productions.
Thanks, Point and Yell.
Woo!
Again, Brian likes the Point and Yell anytime we mention Point and Yell.
It just makes sense.
All right, guys, so I'm going to bounce out of here and go grab my katana and wait for some sharks.
Yeah.
On my porch.
I'll see you with my automatic shotgun.
Yeah. I'm going to get my time machine and go back 20 years when Mike Tyson was a real athlete. Cut his arm off. Somehow infuse it into my ligaments.
No, wait. You actually need to go back 30 years. Because 20 years is when he bit Evander's ear off.
Ooh.
Maybe guys, 25-ish. The 80s, 30 years ago.
Maybe 25-ish. Maybe 25-ish.
25.
Yeah.
The bridge from 80s to
go
90s.
Back to the year of Brett's birth and then take
my cars. Do you think you can come back in an hour? Because Sharknado starts then.
Oh, good point. Can I get that done in an hour?
You have a time machine.
Yeah.
Time doesn't matter.
I'm going to take off right now.
All right, guys. We're taking off.
I'll see you guys.
All right. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Does someone have Doc Brown's cell phone number?
Brian, did you bring the chicken?
Hey guys, Mike Tyson's a little bitch.